The 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, in the parable that we want to consider tonight, is found there in verses 21 and 22. The Lord Jesus said, "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoil." There never was, and never will be, any concord between Christ and Satan. When God said in Eden's garden, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed," what he said that day, he meant it. And that enmity and that war rages on since that day. The seed of the woman, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, is not called a truce. He is as opposed to evil, and to the evil one as ever he was. He will never surrender an inch to the prince of darkness. Rather, it is his intention to cut up Satan's empire, root and branch. For this purpose, we are told, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And the Lord will never turn from his purpose to bruise Satan under his feet and to cast him one day into the lake of fire. Hence, there was nothing more libelous than the assertion of certain Pharisees in Christ's day that when they saw him cast out a devil, they said that he cast out devils by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of devils. What an evil assertion! What a wicked accusation to even suggest that the prince of light, life, and peace would be in league with the prince of devils. This was an evil thing indeed. Jesus Christ does not need anyone's help to cast out Satan. Jesus Christ does not need Satan's help to cast out Satan. Jesus Christ does not need the devil's help to drive out devils and demons. He doesn't need help from the underworld to further the cause of his kingdom. He can do it alone. He can do it by himself. For he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. For he is God. Beside him there is none else. Note, believer, with what ease the Lord Jesus cast out this demon. For we read in verse 20, "But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you." why the Lord Jesus Christ is able to cast out demons and devils by His finger. And here we see that He did not need to make bare His mighty arm. Finger was enough. Cast out demons by the finger of God, and of course He is God. He is. There is the devil, a strong man indeed. But Jesus Christ is stronger than he. There is more power. There is more strength. There is more might in one of his fingers than there is in a legion of devils. This truth he illustrates in this parable which he told. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, that's the devil, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come, that's Christ, shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoil. Jesus Christ is able to disarm the devil. He's able to rob souls of hell. And here he tells us how he does it. He robs hell of souls. First of all, we have the devil described. The Lord Jesus describes his arch enemy in this parable as a strong man. As the Lord said, the devil is a strong man, we need to pay heed. We need to give attention to what the Lord says. My people today talk very flippantly about the devil. The Lord says he's a strong man. We're told that he's a strong man who keeps his palace. And the palace is the heart of sinful man. First of all, regarding his description, notice his appearance. The devil appears in many different guises in Scripture. He is the serpent. Genesis 3 verse 1. He is Lucifer, the fallen angel, in Isaiah 14 verse 12. He is the dragon in Revelation 20 and verse 2. He is the roaring lion in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. And all of this, as well as being our adversary, the accuser of the brethren, the prince of the power of the air, the father of lies. That's how the devil appears. And now the Lord Jesus describes the devil as a strong man. Indeed, the original puts it even more forcefully. Because in the original you have the definite article. And so the Lord Jesus speaks about the devil as the strong man. He is the strong man. And when the Lord gave him that title and described him in that way, he did so for a very good reason. This spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience is a strong man. And who can stand against him? Let's look at the Scriptures. And let's look at the strongest man that we read about in Scripture, Samson. by, we would say, surely Samson was able to stand against this strong man. This man, Samson, who was the jawbone of an ass, was able to slay 1,000 Philistines. Why, what other man could have done that? And yet when Samson came up against the devil, this man, Samson, who had rent a lion, torn it to pieces, was no match for this lion that roared out of the pit of hell. For this roaring lion overcame Samson. Overcame him to his shame and to his hurt. Samson was no match for the strong man. And what about Solomon? Surely Solomon could have defeated this strong man by his wisdom and his knowledge. Not so. Not even Solomon, with all his wisdom and knowledge, could overcome this strong man. For the strong man was too strong for Solomon, and he was outwitted by Satan, and his heart was led astray by the arch tempter. That's why the Lord Jesus called him the strong man. There's not one of us here tonight who's any match for the devil. We needn't think we can defeat the devil. We needn't think we can overcome this strong man. We can't. Samson couldn't. Solomon couldn't. Neither could David. Samson, the strongest of men. Solomon, the wisest of men. David, the greatest of men. David fell under the power and the strength of the devil. He who had gone out and courageously and skillfully defeated the giant of Gath, he had slain a giant. Surely he could slay the strong man. Surely he could slay the devil. David came face to face with a strong man one night as he was walking on his rooftop. And there Israel's valiant soldier was overcome by this strong fiend from hell. And that night, when kings go forth to war, this king, this soldier fell without a sword been drawn against him. And so when the Savior described this strong man in these terms, the Lord meant it. Many a saint has gone toe to toe with him and would acknowledge his strength. And every sinner has felt the power of his grip and the strength of his hand, because there are thousands of souls held in the grip of the devil today and they do not have the strength to break free. Can't overthrow the strong man. The strong man keeps his palace. The strong man is in control of man's heart. And sinner, he's in control of your heart tonight. And I tell you this, on the authority of this book, you will never be able to cast him out. You need one who's stronger than the devil. Or you have his appearance. Then you have his arsenal. When a strong man armed, why, it's bad enough facing the devil as the strong man. For we have no might or strength against this individual. But lo and behold, the Lord Jesus tells us this strong man is armed. And he has many a weapon in his armory. He has quite an arsenal of weapons. And one weapon that he uses time and time and time again is the weapon called the lie. He uses the lie. He has slain countless millions with this weapon. There are countless souls in hell tonight because they believed the lie of the devil. And my friend, you'll be in hell tonight if you believe the lie of the devil. I can guarantee that, because no lie is off the truth. It's the truth that will see you in heaven. It's the devil's lie that will see you in hell. The weapon in the hand of the devil that has slain countless souls. He is the greatest liar who ever lived. And isn't it amazing that so many today are ready to believe every word he says? Used to work with a young fellow. My, he had the spirit of the devil. He had the spirit of this strong man. He was a serious liar. You couldn't believe a word he said. It just seemed as though every sentence contained a lie. Just couldn't believe him. Couldn't trust him. And here's this strong man, and he's a liar. He's a liar from the beginning. The truth is not in him. And yet men and women today accept what the devil says. They believe every word he says. They believe the devil when the devil tells them you don't need to be saved at all. So they believe that. And yet it's a lie from the pit itself. They believe the devil when he tells them there's no such a place as hell. You were to conduct a survey in this town tonight and ask every one of the people who live here, do you believe in hell? I wonder how many would say yes. I wonder how many would say no, I don't. I wonder how many believe the lie of the devil. They believe his lie. The lie that tells them there's no hell, there's no lake of fire, there's nothing to fear, there's nothing to worry about. He uses the weapons of falsehood and cunning and craft and deception to make people believe that they can carry coals in their bosom and not be burned. He is so blinded the minds of those that believe not, so as to have them dance, as it were, on the very brink of hell and believe that they're on the very verge of heaven. He's a liar. That's one weapon he has used over and over again. No wonder, my friend, will you believe his lie? Or will you tonight embrace the truth? Because it's the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that will break those chains. It's the truth that will break that vice-like grip of the devil. It's the truth that sets man free. And him whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. And Paul tells us that in his arsenal he carries the fiery darts of lust and pleasure and covetousness with great frequency. He slays his opponents. He's a strong man. He's a strong man armed. His appearance, his arsenal, and his ability. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. The palace, of course, is man's heart. A strong man is quite capable of keeping the heart of man. The heart of unregenerate, unsaved man. The word keepeth there means to keep guard. He keeps guard. He doesn't want the truth to enter man's heart. He keeps guard. Same word is used with reference to Peter in Acts 12 when he was arrested and put in prison and delivered to the four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, to keep guard. Don't let this man escape. Whatever you do, don't open the prison doors. And that's the business the devil is about. Wants to make sure that the sinner's heart is not open to the truth. He's determined to keep his palace and prevent what he regards as the enemy of entering in and taking it. He has the determination and the ability to keep man's heart under his control. He will thwart every attempt to conquer it. He is especially vigilant when the army of truth is on the march. And he must at all costs keep the door shut against the truth. Truth is his greatest enemy. Must be for the father of lies. Truth is his greatest enemy. And he will muster all his strength to defeat it. And there are men and women experiencing that opposition to the truth even as I speak. I can tell you the truth about your soul. I can tell you the truth about heaven. I can tell you the truth about hell. I can tell you the truth about your need of salvation. The devil will want you to believe the lie. And he'll want to keep that door shut. He'll keep guard. He'll guard his palace. And so you see, there's no hope for man while man believes the lie. And while the devil is in control of his heart, there's no hope for him. Because when Samson couldn't defeat the devil, or Solomon, or David, then, my friend, there's no hope of you doing it. Is the devil described as the devil's domain? The devil's domain is the heart of man, which is here called a palace. Notice but the Lord said, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace. Devil regards the heart of man as his. Even though God is the creator of the heart of man, God should be the tenant of that heart. The heart of man should have God there. But instead the devil is there, and there's his place. It's his place. He has such control over the heart of man that is able to say, this heart is my palace, my abode. I can tell you this. If God or if the devil is in control of that palace, that heart, then it's not a very clean palace. May look all right from the outside, but that palace, that heart is filthy on the inside. Must be. Can't be anything else. Because when the Lord cast out this devil, it was an unclean spirit that he cast out. An unclean spirit. The devil is an unclean spirit. And so the heart of man must be unclean. Every room in that palace must be reeking with rottenness and corruption. It is true, for there's nothing but filth and corruption and uncleanness to be found in the heart of man. You don't believe me? Then listen to this. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Listen to this. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And you're still not convinced. Listen to the words of the Savior Himself. The Lord Jesus said, out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. This is the heart of man. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. The Lord has just given us a glimpse inside the palace. He's just given us a glimpse inside your heart. And that's the abode of the strong man. Not a very good picture, is it? Not only do you have here his place, but you've also his possessions. The Lord Jesus said, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods. His goods. What might the goods be of this strong man? What might the goods be that he lays claim to? I can think of a number of things. He lays claim to the mind of the sinner. He's already claimed the heart. He will claim the mind of the sinner and how he guards the mind and the will against the truth. Guards against anything pure entering the mind. I'm sure he would regard the love of the sinner as part of his goods, his possession. He sees to it that men are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. He has made them to love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. He makes them to love the wages of righteousness. He has them to love this present evil world. And to love all that is in the world, to love sin. That's his goods. The mind, the heart, the love, the affections. He wants man to love everything that's corrupt and impure and evil and wicked. so that sin, like a raging tyrant, sits upon his flinty throne, and all that's good is crushed to death beneath this heart of stone. Does he not regard the sinner's talents as his goods? You ever heard the beautiful voice say of an ungodly person, as they had sung some worldly tune, you've said that man or that woman has a lovely voice. My, isn't it an awful pity they weren't saved? And how they could use that talent for Christ. It's the devil's goods. And he uses those talents to his own ends. It's his possessions. Then you have his peace. Not a strange thing. You'd hardly ever associate peace with the devil. He who brings such misery and sorrow to the lovers of sin, the lovers of the pleasures of this world, and yet the Lord Jesus speaks about the devil's peace are licking at your heels. Any moment you could fall in, be consumed in that fire, that lake, that will burn for eternity. And yet the sinner sits at peace. You think there of that awful tragedy, that tsunami, that wave that came as a result of an earthquake way out at sea. You see the video. People sitting on the beach. You can see the wave coming. There they sit. In fact, you saw in one of the videos people running out to sea to meet the wave. Didn't sense the danger. They were at peace. It's the devil's peace. And yet thousands swept away into eternity. No wonder how many of them were ready to die. Wonder how many of them were ready to meet God. Men today are sitting at peace and at rest with the sword of God's anger and wrath hanging above their heads by a mere thread. That's how near they are. And they're at peace. While all the while the countdown to the hour of their departure has already begun. It's like that shuttle that's going off out into space later on this month. And I heard them saying on the radio, certain number of days, hours, and minutes left to blast off. They're already counting the minutes and the seconds now. And maybe the hour, and you will go away out into eternity. The countdown to that hour has already begun. You sit at peace. You should be troubled. You can go to bed tonight at peace and waking up in hell. It's the peace of the devil. And then you have the devil disarmed. Much has been said about this strong man that perhaps would have us believe that there's no hope of ever defeating him. Why, if Samson couldn't defeat him, or Solomon, or David, if this man who slew Goliath couldn't slay this strong man, then what hope is there for us? But how glad they are, there's another verse to this parable. For verse 22 says, but when a stronger than he, and once more, the definite article is left out. And so it should read, but when the stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him, he disarms him, all his army, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoil. And glory to God, there's one who's stronger than the devil. Stronger than he. His name is Jesus Christ. He's stronger than he. And here we have said before is the power of Christ. And how glad we are that there is one who is stronger than Satan. One who has the power and strength to enter the palace. One who has power and strength to enter man's soul and overcome and cast out the occupant. His name is Jesus Christ. For he alone is able to drive out the devil. He alone is able to take possession of that palace. His very name speaks of power. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Oh, the devil is referred to as the God of this world. But our Savior is the God of eternity. He inhabits eternity. Devil is a mere creature. Jesus Christ is the Creator. Christ alone, the mighty God, is able to defeat the strong man. Jesus, the name high over all. In hell or earth or sky, men and angels before him fall, and devils fear and fly. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoners free. His blood can make the foulest clean. We can say tonight, his blood avails for me. He's the stronger than he. And what can Satan do against the strong arm of Christ? As the psalmist says, thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right arm. When he goes forth to war, no power on earth, no power in hell can resist him. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. There he is. Power in his finger. There's power in his hand. There's power in his right arm. And glory to God, there's power in his blood. Power in the blood of Emmanuel. And he's able to set the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. Blood avails for me. This is he. He is the strong one. He alone can storm the palace. He alone can cast out the devil. He alone can take control of the devil's domain. His power and His plan. The Lord Jesus has a plan. The Lord in this parable reveals His plan for winning the heart of man, taking that heart from the devil. Matthew also records this parable. This is what Matthew says. How can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first binds the strong man? Except he first binds the strong man. And when Jesus Christ comes, He binds the strong man and renders him helpless, and He rescues man's soul. No one can bind them but Jesus. Samson couldn't. Solomon couldn't. David couldn't. That strong man is as powerless as a dead lion when Jesus overcomes him and taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted. How often has he done this? How often has the Lord Jesus bound the devil? Can you count the number of souls that will be in heaven? Well, we are told that it's an innumerable throng, a multitude that cannot be numbered. That's the number of times Christ has bound the devil. Because every soul He has saved, He has first bound the devil. And He has robbed hell of souls. He has defeated and He has disarmed the devil. He's the mighty conqueror. His name is Jesus Christ. He's stronger than the devil. His power, His plan, and His price. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, why is not the Savior's name, isn't he called the great overcomer? He has overcome the world. And glory to his name, he has overcome the devil. When he overcomes him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusteth, and divideth his spoil. And here he is. He takes the spoil. That's what happened in war. And two armies came to gather, and the victorious army was able to take the spoils of war. And here the two strong men meet. Only one was stronger than the other. And he bound the other one, and he spoiled his goods. He took the heart. He took control of the mind. He captured the love. He took the talents. All those things that the devil regarded as his goods, Jesus is now in control. Hallelujah. He's in control. He has taken our hearts tonight. He has defeated the strong man. He has disarmed the strong man. And he has robbed hell of souls. Glory to his name. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoil. May we can thank God tonight afresh for that hour that the Lord Jesus took from the devil our heart. Took from the devil our love. took from the devil our mind and our thoughts, took from the devil our affections, and now they belong to Jesus. He's the mighty conqueror. And you can know Him tonight if you would but trust Him. He'll cast out the devil in your heart, and He'll make the devil's palace His palace, and He'll sit upon the throne, and He'll rule and reign from that throne forevermore. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and our gracious Father, we bless Thee for the one who is stronger than the devil. We bless Thee, He has strength and power to bind the devil. He is able to deliver his goods. He is able to take the spoils of war, make them His own. Lord, we bless Thee tonight afresh for the Lord Jesus. And how glad we are that He's stronger than the devil. Because we would have no might against the devil. We could never cast him out of ourselves. But glory to His name, Jesus can. O Lord, may others come and ask Christ to enter their hearts, just as the little children would pray, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart to stay. Come in today. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Thank Thee, Lord, for that time when Christ came into our hearts. Now we belong to Him. Lord, bless the word to our hearts tonight. Be with us, dear Lord, as we leave the house of God. May Thy good hand be upon us as we travel. Return us on Wednesday night to pray down the blessing, to pray sinners into the kingdom, to pray down revival. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.